How are you today, my friends? You've been asked that question now three times. I think we assume that you're not good, or that you're so good that you want to tell us about it every single time we ask. I'm Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church, and it's awesome to be here with you today. It's a little bit of a unique Sunday for us today because we have the kids in with us. Normally, there would be dismissal of the children right after worship and communion, but we don't have that today, so my goal today is to keep everything I say G-rated. And you know, some of you, that's a struggle for me, okay? All right? So, this is our last week before we jump into a teaching series in Hebrews. Everybody ready for that teaching series? So we've been trying to come up with one-offs of what it looks like to be a Christ follower here specifically. What do you guys need to hear within these awesome few weeks that we've got of no scheduled teachings? And this week, I was going to rehash a teaching. This is my third sermon this week. I taught at NAVS, and we talked about how life in Christ makes better family. Being adopted in Christ makes better family. And we read identity passages over us, of who God says we are. And I said, I'm just going to use that so I don't have to create an entire another teaching, because I'm not feeling that ambitious. Which you wouldn't have known the wiser if I didn't just tell you, unless you were from NAVS and you're like, this again? Right? And so then I had a wedding that I had to do this weekend. I just got back at like 10:45 last night, driving through the fog. Did anybody get a drive through that last night? Wasn't that amazing? No? Okay. It was super thick. I was super excited to be home, but I had to teach there, and then I get to teach now. And so as I'm praying, God, what do we need to hear? And he said, not that nonsense you taught at NAVS. You don't need to teach identity here today, even though I think every week we tell you your identity within Christ, or help to try to have you see that, have us see that together as a whole, corporately and individually. But what he said is, you guys need to re-up this life transformation group thing. And we need to talk about this again. And we talked about it in our God Dreams meeting that we had a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I'm not really sure. It's been a whirlwind. And we said, what do we do participation-wise when participation is low in this thing that brings life? And we wanted to demystify this thing, because a lot of us think that once we join an LTG, I think the misnomer is, we're good. Just join an LTG for life. And the LTG is actually this amazing thing that takes all the fluff and the flair of Jesus stuff, like the latest Bible study or book study, which are good and right. And what it does is it boils down everything about discipleship into the most simplified process ever. And what basically is training wheels for living a life in Christ. Now, I don't say training wheels to demean what a life transformation group is, but what it really does is you start looking at everything that a life transformation group is, and it orders your life. It brings about a huge focus on reading Scripture. It brings about a focus of living life in community with others. It brings a God-centered focus of confessing sin to one another. That's not just a Catholic thing, okay? That's an us thing. That's a scriptural thing. That's a biblical thing. And I apologize for the light show. It's just crazy. We don't know what's going on, all right? We've asked the building, and they said ghosts. So we're going to go with that, okay? Not to freak any of the children out. Dang it, I did it. All right? It's no longer G-rated. So, what does this look like? What does the life transformation group look like? For those of you that are unaware and not in the know, you're going to get a good education. I'm going to read straight from a guy named Neil Cole. Neil Cole is an incredible author and pastor, and his church, if you would look at his church and you would attend his church, it's not a big church. It's less than 100 people. I think it's less than 80 people. I think it's less than 60 people. And it's very unassuming. But this is a church that takes discipleship seriously. And this is a church that, anybody know Francis Chan? Yeah, personally, you got his number? Call him for me, please. Francis Chan actually left this church that he started. He was led by the Spirit to start this church in California, and it just exploded. And you're talking thousands and thousands of people coming to this church. And in our Americanized view of church, you would say that is a success, right? So Francis is in this movement, and he saw this amazing movement of God, and what God did was call Francis out of this. And people are looking at him in the pastoral world saying, "You're an idiot. Why would you ever leave this?" And he said, "Because I was called to." Neil Cole, this unassuming author and pastor of this small church, helped Francis Chan do this transition from being this mega church pastor to doing what he's doing now. And it's a beautiful thing. So Neil is actually a good friend of a friend of mine named Jesse Cruikshank, and we've actually been in correspondence with Neil because we saw this Life Transformation Group material be so good and so basic that we said, "Is there anything for marriages?" And he said, "No, but you should write one." So Craig, our associate, our discipleship pastor, did. And so we actually have this for marriages as well. But this is the basics of a life transformation group, also known as an LTG. If you ever hear us say LTG, that's what we're talking about. Here's Neil Cole's words: a life transformation group, LTG, is a simple way to release the most essential elements of a vital spiritual walk to people who need Jesus to change their lives from the inside out. It is a grassroots tool for growth which encourages and supports people to follow Christ by fueling internal motivation rather than applying external pressures and ploys. This tool empowers the common Christian, us. Actually, we're kind of uncommon Christians. No, you don't think that's funny? Good. To accomplish the uncommon work of reproducing spiritual disciples who can reproduce others. That falls in line with our God dream, right? Spiritual formation that leads to leadership development, that leads to spiritual formation. As we make leaders here, as we are spiritually developed, we become leaders. And we become leaders and others become spiritually developed because of the leadership. I believe that fancy way of saying things is called discipleship. Okay? Discipleship. So a simple overview of what an LTG is it meets once a week for about an hour. Now some of you are like, "Mine's going for like 10 hours. This is miserable." You're doing it wrong, okay? Just kidding. LTGs are a group of two or three, no more than two or three. And if you add a fourth person in, you're supposed to split, and then you go two and two. And there's reasons for all this. I'll get to them. The groups are not co-ed, but they're gender-specific, so there's actually honesty within the groups and shared struggles between genders. You get it, man. Women get women, men get men, right? There is no curriculum. Isn't that exciting? You guys are so dead today. There's no curriculum other than the Word of God. And there's no leader in this group. And I think that's one of the biggest misnomers when it comes to a discipleship group like this, the LTG. There is no leader. But it's always interesting because someone has to rise up usually and take the reins to some extent, because if you don't, it kind of goes off the rails. So technically there's no leaders, but you're all supposed to be leaders in that group. Deal? And there's only three tasks that are to be accomplished in an LTG. Number one is sin confessed and mutual accountability. Number two is scripture is read repetitively in context and in community. And number three, souls are prayed for strategically, specifically, and continuously. The LTG is simple yet powerful. It incorporates the values of community, internal life, transformation, and reproduction of disciples. So that's one of the reasons we hit it so hard and heavy here, is because we can start a small group program and get you all reading the same newest book that's out, the hottest, latest, greatest thing, and we can have you doing it through the sermon series, and we can have you, but the most important thing that we miss here and we lack here, and I think churches in America lack, is just reading Scripture. Being in the Word. talking with God about people that are lost in our world that we know. Not only just talking, we do a lot of us do a lot of talking too, but when it comes down to just pure discipleship of one another, we'll look at our lost neighbor and say, you're not my problem. I'm going to invite you to church and then you become my pastor's problem. Anybody? You act like you invite them to church and once they get here, you've done your job. Hands off. Well, no, you got to live life with these people. That's what discipleship is. The people you invite to church, you should be actively involved in their discipleship process. You don't agree, do you? It's scary, isn't it? It's a little terrifying to think of you leading anybody to Jesus. I get it. I've been there, all right? So who should be in an LTG? There's really only two qualifying qualifications. And number one is a desperate need for Jesus Christ. In Luke 5, 29 through 32, it says this, later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of the law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Do we have any sinners in the room today? Okay, some of you are being honest and raising your hand. Some of you weren't sure and not raising your hand. That's okay. That's all right. So, just off of qualification number one, I think that covers the entirety of the group, right? Yeah, right. And the only other qualification is faithful, being faithful to the process itself. That's it. Being faithful to what this is. This discipleship process. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says this, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Sounds like the Matthew passage that we read the other week when Jesus said, go into all the world, preaching, teaching, baptizing, making disciples, right? These two criteria balance one another to keep the ground on track with healing for hurting people and health for helping people. Healthy people. To compromise either of these two principles will slow down and derail the overall effectiveness of your LTG, your life transformation group. An LTG is made up of no more than two or three people, all of the same gender, who meet weekly for personal accountability for spiritual growth and development. It's recommended that a group not grow past three, but rather multiply into two groups of two once the fourth participant has proven faithful to the process. And there's all sorts of scripture that deals with this. When you think of the strength of two or three and all the biblical stuff that goes on with that, because if you came here and I didn't give you any scripture, I wouldn't come back to this church. If it was just the thoughts of Adam, right, or the thoughts of the latest, greatest book, find a new church. Or go tell the elders you guys are doing it wrong, okay? Deal? First one is community. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. LTGs are for your success and others' success. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Anybody been there? I have nobody in my life. Gets pretty lonely. It's pretty dark. He's in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. That's why we don't do co-ed stuff, okay? Can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Life change does not occur in a vacuum. It happens in relationship with others. From the beginning, God has said that it is not good to be alone. We need each other for strength and support. A friend of mine's friend, his name is Caleb Kaltenbach. He posted earlier this week on Facebook, Christians can't be mission-driven without being people-focused. This Jesus thing is not about you and finding this precious little thing and just keeping it to yourself. This Jesus thing is not about you coming here on a Sunday morning and going home and just keeping all of those things to yourself. This Jesus thing is about community. It's about others. Christians can't be mission-driven without being people-focused. We got accountability. There's biblical support for that too. In 1 Timothy 5:19, it says this, "Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it's confirmed by two or three witnesses." Few things would get done in life without some degree of accountability. The New Testament lists at least 28 one another commands. There is no doubt we need one another to live life, the life that Christ intends for us. The third one, which is a really big one, is confidentiality. Okay? You don't go to your small group, your LTG, and then just go tell everybody about your amazing experience and all the dirt that you've got on their confessions. Unless you get money for it, right? No, that's not good either. Right? Confidentiality, Matthew 18, 5 through 17, it says this, "If a believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. But if the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you were unsuccessful, take two or three others with you and go back again so that everything that you may say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If a person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector." It is easy to maintain confidentiality in a group of only two or three rather than in a larger group of 10 or 12, right? You got all those ears listening, you got all those mouths talking. The Lord specifically designated that two or three is best for confession of sin. And the fourth reason why we want to keep the group small is for flexibility. Right? Has anybody ever tried to like have a huge birthday party for someone? Well, that doesn't work for my schedule, right? Or you're trying to plan a huge family reunion and nobody can be there, right? So flexibility, Matthew 18, 20 says this, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am among them. It's like God knew this, right? I don't need a group of 100 people to meet every Wednesday. Where do you meet with one or two or three people, right? It's much easier to coordinate the calendars of only two or three rather than a typical small group of 15. And an LTG can meet anywhere, right? Mine used to meet, everywhere my LTG has met, they've ripped down those buildings. So if you have an eyesore of a building in town and you want it down, just tell my LTG to go meet there and they'll just tear it down, right? Right? Number five is reproducibility. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." It is easy to reproduce a smaller, simpler group than a large and more complex entity. Perhaps that is why the Lord commands us to make more disciples rather than cell groups or churches. Transform disciples and community are the best base unit for the kingdom of God. So there's some really great stuff there. And I know it's convincing you right now that you want to just get into an LTG, right? But wait, there's more. There's more, right? Sin is confessed in mutual accountability. Now, this may freak you out. It was interesting. I spoke at NAVS, and Neil was an awesome dude, and he teed me up before I got up there and said some nice things about me. And one of the things he said was, Adam is the coolest person I've ever met. I can't remember how you said it, but basically he said, Adam gets up, and he just lays his sin out, and it doesn't matter. He's not afraid to do it. Is basically what he said. And I want to tell you something that has taken years of development. Because I'm like you, I want to hold these things deep within and not talk about the yuck. And not talk about anything that might besmirch my great name, right? Or that people would look differently at me. That was one of my biggest the biggest concern my wife had when I would do these things is she said, I don't want people to view you like that. Yeah, but that's who I am. Those are my tendencies. Those are the things I gravitate towards. And so when I stand up here and I give you dirt on the latest, greatest Adam mix-up, it's not because I just love talking about myself. It's because these stories teach. Now, that's not a license to just go sin and try to get teachable moments. Okay? That would be a mistake. But what this does is this brings accountability. If I don't know where you're at, how can I pray for you? The majority of time when we see somebody on the street, how are you doing? What do we say? Fine. Great. And then I'll go home and I'll be like, I hear something later like their grandma died that day, their dog got hit by a car. I'm like, they lied to me. They're not fine. They're in inner turmoil. Or when you're just sinning and just repeatedly sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, just running unchecked, and you're not talking about these things with anyone, how's that cycle going to stop? How can people speak into your world? How can people speak into your situation in those moments? Okay? So sin is confessed in mutual accountability. And there's questions that they ask. And these are really in-depth questions because what we don't want to do is have the I'm fine conversation, right? We don't want to have the it's okay, everything's good conversation. What this LTG system does is it asks very pointed questions. And these are going to shock you. The first one starts off a little easy, maybe for some. Have you been a testimony this week to the greatness of Jesus Christ with both your words and actions? That question almost has an expectation to it, doesn't it? Expecting that you're going to be living as Christ followers, as disciples of Christ. How have you been doing that through your words and through your actions? Number two is an awesome one. And that's actually a really difficult one with any kind of binge watching of shows on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu. Check this out. Have you been exposed to sexually alluring material? Or, for those of you that don't watch and just read books, right? Allowed your mind to entertain inappropriate sexual thoughts about another this week? Are we human? Do we have a heartbeat? Do we have eyes? Is the opposite sex beautiful? Right? Amazing. Have you lacked integrity, in your financial dealings or coveted something that does not belong to you? Man, there is a Jeep Gladiator that I really, really want. I don't know if coveting's the word, but I think it's the word. I want it. I like it. Yeah. Number four, the question is, have you been honoring, understanding, and generous in your important relationships this week? Again, that casts an expectation of generosity and honor, and that you have important relationships. All right? Number five, have you damaged another person by your words? Either behind their back or face to face. Right? Number six, have you given in to an addictive behavior this past week? And if so, explain. Number seven, have you continued to remain angry toward another? Number eight, have you secretly wished for another's misfortune? Number nine, you actually get to write your own accountability question in there. If we haven't hit your thing yet, your thing can just be added in number nine. And number 10 is, did you finish the reading and hear from God? What are you going to do about it? Again, casting expectation. The Word of God speaks when we're in Scripture. The things that we read are not just mindless things that we can just let go. There are things that speak to who our Creator is. There's things that speak to who God is. There's things that speak to everything about us in our relationship with that Creator. As we read these things, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts whispering, hey, let's put this in check in your world. Hey, I think you're doing a great job in this. Keep doing it. Right? There's an expectation. What are you hearing and what are you doing? And I love the last question. It's number 11, and it's, have you been completely honest? Yet you get another chance to lie. Oh, I'm good. Fine. Right? I love this because what it does is it just cuts all the fat out. It cuts all the just the small talk, the craziness, and those things can happen in small groups. This isn't all just business. It's fun too, as you are in accountability with one another. As you're looking to Jesus, as you're in Scripture and the Word with one another, as you're looking for people to disciple in this, as you're looking for people to share this information with, it's incredible. So there's this other part of Scripture. Reading Scripture in context and community. And the power of this system is in the unleashing of God's Word in the lives of people. Like what we just talked about. It should be alive as you read it. What I hear more times than not is the Old Testament isn't applicable anymore, right? Once Jesus hit, it's dead. Have you read the Old Testament? Have you read about this God that chases humanity that He created? That continues to get spit on, continues to get forgotten, continues to be abused by the very creation that He created, and still say, and I love you. To still say, and I'll provide my sacrifice for you. All of these things point to the greater. All of these point to where we came from, who we are, where we've been. And to say it's dead, to say it doesn't matter, is ludicrous and a farce. You can read the Old Testament and gain things. Now, I will say that there are some really dry parts of the Old Testament. When you read, if you read like the Old Testament in chronological order and you get to the temple measurements, it's literally just a bunch of numbers. Or they use weird things like hand breadths, or, you know, it was the length of 25 horses. I don't know, stupid things like that. But it gets really dry, and you're just like, ugh, what did you derive from the reading this week? Absolutely nothing. There's going to be some of that. There's going to be some things. But these things were all important to God, and so that's why they should be important to us, right? So each group decides on a book of the Bible they will read each week, and the goal is to create an internal appetite for the rich Word of God so a larger volume is consumed. Usually what they say is about 30 chapters a week is what you should be reading. And it's interesting because in this Life Transformation Group material, it says that's a lot. And what I find is that's a cup of coffee in the morning and getting up a little bit early, about a half an hour, and being with Jesus. But I don't know how to read well. I don't read fast. Well, there's audio that you can actually listen to on the majority of all these Bible apps anymore. But if you need to set the bar high, and if you can't achieve it, what happens is your group will then continue to read the same Scripture over and over and over again. And has anybody in an LTG been through that process? And sometimes it's disappointing because you got that one person in the group that didn't read, and you're like, you never read. And then you start, you know, thinking of their misfortune. And then you have to confess it the next week, right? Right? So it can happen that way, but it shouldn't ever be a negative thing, because what you are doing is still bathing in Scripture, bathing in the words of God. God, what do you have for me in this? And if this person isn't reading and I have to read this again, it's not because you're being punished. There may be something God is trying to say to you through these same verses over and over and over. Maybe you're that thick-headed, like myself. So don't take it as a punishment. Don't take it as a downer. But look for God in that. Where is this? Okay? And then the third thing is souls are prayed for specifically and regularly. There are people in your world, all over your world, that don't know Jesus. And the small group LTG, Life Transformation Group format is not that you put 50 people on your list to pray for. It's literally two or three people each, right? And you pray for them daily as your small group. In my small group, what I had put in my calendar on my phone is a certain time every day, and it pops up. And within those notes are the people that we're praying for, that they would know Jesus. And what it used to be for me when we first started this is I would pray at people, like it was God going to send someone else to those people and minister to those people. And I was exempt from it. I was doing my part of praying for people. And what I found was God started creating opportunity for me to live life shoulder to shoulder with them in my community, in my neighborhood, in my sphere of influence. It's pretty humbling. It's pretty cool. God says, yeah, that's you. Now, I get that there's family members that can be far away, that we don't live in the same state, and I'm not saying don't pray for those people, but I am saying that God is going to use you to reach those people beyond just your prayers in an LTG. So it's huge. Each member is to identify, of the LTG, to identify two or three people whom the Lord has laid on their heart that needs Jesus. The names of these people are written down wherever you need to write them, and each person in the group prays throughout the week for those on the list. It is best to choose one name from the list each day and pray specifically for them. There's actually a strategic prayer guide. There's some material for the Life Transformation Group that can be passed out. And it's actually praying through Scripture for these individuals that don't know Jesus. And if you want to do the most vicious Christian attack on someone, sic the Holy Spirit on them. Yeah. Pray Scripture over them. Pray Scripture for them. Pray that God would open their eyes, soften their hearts, open their ears. It's amazing what this will do. So when we say LTG, and if you're thinking, I'm not in one, I'm never going to be in one. That sounds miserable. What you are doing is saying no to Jesus. I'm sorry, that's what it is. What you are doing is saying no to the workable system that Christ has created us to be in with one another. My reading of the Word really didn't take root until we started going through something like this. In terms of consistency, in terms of accountability. And now, if I miss it, I miss it. It's literally like, if I don't eat a meal, I know I didn't eat a meal. If I wake up in the morning and I skip, I get my cup of coffee and my breakfast and I turn on Netflix, I miss the time that I chose not to take in the Word. I miss the time when my calendar bings on my phone and I look at it and I say, I'm too busy to pray for those people. That can happen. I miss it when I miss the opportunity to pray for the other people in my LTG. I miss it when I don't have that accountability in my own world and asking questions of, where are you with this, Adam? Now again, this isn't a life sentence, these life transformation groups, but they are training wheels for true discipleship, deep, true community that Jesus calls us into, that God created us to exist in and thrive in. So here's what I'm asking you, Whitewater, for those of you that have been here forever, and for those of you that are new and visiting or just passing through, you can take this wherever you want. I've got a whole stack of this Life Transformation Group material that I want you to take with you if you're interested in it. You can do this. You shouldn't have to clear just basic discipleship with your church leaders wherever you're going. Is it okay if we read the Bible together and pray for one another that don't know the lost and ask accountability questions? No, then leave that church, okay? Right? You have my permission. Tell them Adam said, okay? You need to be a part of this. This needs to be a part of your world. What's beautiful is this is a part of my world through multiple sources, not just locally, but through sources outside. I've got a guy that calls me once a month from Dallas, Texas, and we sit on the phone for an hour, and he asks questions like this to me. And he's a pastor, he's a church planner, and he knows the game, and he knows where people can hide, especially church planners. And he asks some of the most pointed questions to me. I've got another buddy in Omaha, and these guys are all older than I am. Another church planner buddy of mine in Omaha, and he does the same thing. Always asks me every time he's there, what do you need? How can I be praying for you? What are you reading? It's amazing. And so I started looking back at my life since these things started happening, since I started being able to confess sin, not just to a couple people, but to all of you, right? And as I've been able to look at people to say, you know what, they need this in their world too. One of the scariest things for me when I had an LTG, I went across the street to my neighbor because God told me I needed to go ask him to be in an LTG, and I had already spoken to his wife, and they didn't come to church. And his wife said, there's no way he'll do anything like that. No way, absolutely not. And I went and asked him, and I said, this is what I'm hearing from God. So lead with that with your neighbor that doesn't really care or know Jesus much, right? Lead with that. This is what I'm hearing from God. And he said, man, I'm in. What? I was waiting for the rejection, right? I was waiting for, no, that's not for me. And he's in. And it just blew my mind that God would work in that way. And all I had to do was be faithful to what I was hearing. It was incredible. So we as leadership see this as valuable. We as leadership see this as the biblical model of how this happens. We're not going to give you fancy programs. We're not going to give you canned material in this thing. We're going to tell you to go to God. We're going to tell you to go to His Word. We're going to tell you to pray. We're going to tell you to pray for your neighbors. We're going to tell you to pray for your families. We're going to tell you to be honest with one another. Just be who you are and let God take care of the rest. Lean into that. That's what we're going to tell you. So I hope that demystifies this life transformation group for you. And I hope it makes it something deeper and richer in your minds for those of you that have already been in an LTG or continue to be in an LTG. And I pray for you that are thinking, you know, I probably need this in my world. Get the word probably out of there and say, I need this in my world. This is something good and right. This isn't our calling you. This is God calling you into that. So God, I pray for this group today. I pray that your words sink deep into their hearts. I pray that your way of discipleship sinks deep into all of our hearts and minds and souls and everything that we're about. God, that we would take you seriously when it comes to these things of just living as your creatures, God, as your created ones. God, not trying to pretend that we're someone else, not trying to pretend that we've got everything together, but that we need you first and foremost, and we need others around us as you've given them to us to be in community with. God, and together, we are going to change the world. God, as we persistently move the world 2 steps closer to Jesus through us being spiritually formed and leading with what you've given us. So God, speak those things into our hearts and our souls and our minds. Bring them to us. Rise that level of importance, God, that 80% of us would just take that leadership and move forward in it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. My friends, I have a whole stack of this life transformation group material. It's literally what I just got done talking to you about. And it's got the prayer card on the back that like walks you through how to pray for people that don't know Jesus. It's got the questions on it. If you have not partaken in an LTG and you're interested in it, come grab one of these, read more, pray on it, and specifically be praying who you invite into this. And then there's also literature on the back tables if you're too scared to come talk to me. I'm a pretty intimidating guy. Not really. I'm a pretty big dude that doesn't move fast at all right? So that's, come get it, come be a part of it. We've got people up here to pray with you. We've got three people. What? Apparently you need prayed for like crazy today. So they're here. They want to pray with you. If you have any joys you want to share, come share them. Let us thank God with you. If you have any concerns or prayers that you need and you need other people to war with you, that's kind of biblical, isn't it, right? Yeah, it is. These three up here, we got April, we got Katie, we got Caleb. They want to pray with you, all right? I said all that to say, look at the bulletin. Make yourself available to community this week somehow, some way. Grace and peace.